Welcome to the Honesty Talks podcast. I am so glad you are joining the conversation today. I hope that you will dig deep with us, think honestly, and allow God to challenge us. As we explore, it is my hope that we grow and see more together. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Honesty podcast. And right now we are actually going to be doing a series of everyday devotionals for counting the Omer in this season between Easter, Passover, Easter, Shavuot, and Pentecost. So there's this period of time that in the Jewish tradition they count what is called the Omer. And today to help, actually for the next couple weeks, I have Jessica with me here, Jessica Larrabee, to help us walk through this every day for the next 3 weeks. So I'm going to hand it over to Jessica to say hi and actually explain what is an Omer.
Hi, yes. I would like to state that the Omer is 7 weeks, but we are starting in already at week 5, so we'll be doing the last 3 weeks of it. And the reason that we're okay with already starting halfway through is because an Omer is the amount that will fill you spiritually. So it is the perfect amount that will give you how much you need, and it will last for how long you need it. So no matter where you start, enter into it, you will still get what you need out of counting the Omer and sitting in what it means and reflecting with God on what the Omer will bring to you.
Awesome. And the historical reference to the Omer is, first it's used in Exodus to refer to the amount of manna taken every day. So that's kind of the spiritual filling that you're talking about.
Yes.
And historically, it was used to count down the days from Passover to when the people gathered around Mount Sinai in the Old Testament. And this throughout time, also when the temple was operational, built, they used this period of time from Passover until Shavuot, which is first fruits, to count grain offerings and what they would offer to God, their first fruits.
Yes, and the first use is in Exodus 16, and that is something we like to do a lot, is look at where's the first use in the Bible. So that is where we get the definition from, is related to counting the manna. And it also relates to if you count the Omer, but then try to hoard it and control it for yourself, it becomes rotten and stinks, which is what happens if they tried to keep the manna for too long. So it is the balance of holding what God has given you, but not trying to control it.
Awesome. And there is a lot of historical references too, of like counting the Omer is, in history, it was an agricultural society. And so offering first fruits of their harvest was a big deal because it was everything that they did. It was how they lived. They grew all of their own food, and they offered the first fruits of that to God. And the Omer, in where it first shows up in scripture, the word Omer, using to count, is in Exodus, but it's in the spiritual sense of counting the amount of manna God provided for the people. And so that's how that is like hooking together, that there's this, it is really the spiritual context in what we are counting in ourselves and leading up to being at the mountain of God with the people of God. And also, what are we offering during this time frame in first fruits? And then following the Mount Sinai in first fruits time is Pentecost. It's like a couple days after that and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And that all these things, like the timelines that don't happen all at once, they happen through time, are not happening on accident.
Correct, yes. And when we look at Exodus 16, it says, it is enough to fill your head and your soul. So it's really emphasizing on God's provision being enough for you physically, but also being enough for you spiritually, mentally, and just really how you inhabit the space with time and trusting that God's provision will continue to come.
And also with the historical context of offering grain, it's also the work of your hands is what's needed to be surrendered to God too. It isn't just about taking, there's a relationship. I think that the historical and, well, they're both historical because manna happened way before offering of grain, but like throughout time, that there's a both.
And I think it teaches us how to hold the passing of time better. Like, we are just leaving Passover, which is about what are you leaving during this season? And then it teaches us how to be mindful with our time as we move forward and as we're leaving out of this space, and just the intentionality of being present with God so we don't go back into the narrow place that we just left.
Mm. And for those of you who are listening and might not know what Passover is about, to give you a little background, Passover is 7-8 days long, and it is a whole week. And we celebrate during this time the exodus of the people from Egypt. And Egypt in the Hebrew is Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim means narrow place. So there is a large spiritual truth to every year at Passover. We are looking at what are the narrow places that we have become slaves to. We work worshiping, serving other things other than God that we need to leave in mm-hmm. life. And those can be spiritual realities, and they can also be physical realities. They can be jobs, relationships, things we believe about ourselves that we need to leave. So in this season where we've identified things to leave, counting the Omer is then a way to be more intentional and present with yourself and to not fall back into those patterns mm-hmm. and really to make space for growth and what God brings. So as we are making this journey and counting the Omer, there is a structure and how we meditate on this and count it every day. And it involves prayers and a structure. So I'm going to let Jessica explain the structure of counting the Omer.
Yes, there are 7 different themes, and each week has its own theme, and each day has its own theme. And so you sit in what the weekly meaning is overall, as well as you sit in what the daily meaning is and how that plays a part into the weekly meaning.
So how it intersects. Awesome. And there's, when we're doing this, there's room for whatever God is speaking to you as you are counting mm-hmm. and those weekly themes and daily themes, how they intersect. There'll be things that God points out to you that really stick with you. And really, it's a practice of hearing.
Mm-hmm. Hearing where God is leading you and what you need, because what Trin might need is different from what I need and what I'm going to get out of the counting.
So we want this to be a richness of space that's provided as we count the Omer, that there's room for individually we're going to encounter that differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just hope that you get a lot of richness out of these devotionals. We're going to share how we both interact with it, which is very different, and that there's room for how God may be moving in you in the counting of the Omer mm-hmm. as well.
Good evening. It is the evening of April 28th. Post-sunset, as that is when we count the next day of the Omer, and we are on day 32 of the Omer. We realized we were not saying the actual number of the day of the Omer, so we will be doing that from here on out. There's 49 days in total, so we'll be counting up to 49. So we are still sitting in week 5, where the theme is Hod, and that is splendor, glory, empathy, humility, service, surrender. The people are Aaron and Hannah, and the color is lavender.
And we've been in Hod this whole week.
Mm-hmm.
And today is Netzach, and that stands for victory, eternity, effectiveness, endurance, ambition, overcoming limitations. And the people for that is Moses and Miriam. Because there's biblical people associated to each of these. And then the color is light pink.
Mm-hmm. My favorite color.
I feel like light pink is a little weird when I think about.
It's very specific.
It's very specific.
I don't associate Moses with light pink.
That's exactly my problem.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because, like, I'm being, like, basic and just being, like, blue because he parted the Red Sea.
But, oh, really? Blue? I'm thinking like green. I mean, none of that'd them be more green, accurate. But that's what I'm feeling.
Yeah. Pink is just an odd, especially when you throw like ambition, endurance, effectiveness,
eternity with light pink. Like, that just feels weird.
It does. I think it's cultural things with pink.
That's probably is all of our gender or associations.
Oh, yeah. So we need to maybe. The call in this is to release that.
Yeah.
And hold it with this pink.
the pink and lavender is my favorite combination in terms of like things for me to wear, because like my color palette is like pinks, so I have a lot of light pink, and I think pink and purple go so good together.
Yes, I would agree with that. But yeah, the color choices here are just different. So what are we picking up out of Netzach? Victory, eternity, effectiveness, endurance, ambition, overcoming limitations. I feel like this is a tough one. There's like a lot of heavy hitters here in the day.
It is, and it's, we're coming from Tiferet, which is like this light, airy, we're in this beautiful garden, to now like the heaviness of victory and eternity and ambition and limitations, and it's like such a shift.
Like when we were, I wasn't even thinking about Netzach yesterday. And we were talking about, like, can we just enjoy the presence now? And then we're in this, and I was like, man, did we call it, like, it's gonna shift.
Good thing we sat in it.
Yeah, like, there was a day, like, and it's not like today's, like.
It's not bad.
No. It's just, I feel like there's a lot of heavy-hitting things of, like, victory, eternity, effectiveness, endurance, ambition, overcoming limitations. It's, like, I don't know, maybe aggressive.
I feel like I think of these as, like, each one has, like, lasting effects, which is where I get the eternity from it, of, like, how you hold each of these effects, the eternity moving forward, even.
Well, right. And where's the victory in our endurance?
Mm-hmm.
Like, in relation to, like, when we're striving toward victory in something, what is our endurance? Do we have endurance? Do we have ambition to keep trying? And do we have overcoming limitations is definitely part of victory, right?
Absolutely. That one is what's really speaking out to me, is the overcoming limitations of, like, the limitations that I put on myself. Like, can I humble myself? Can I surrender myself and give in, and just to overcome the limitations I put on myself to step into the glory of how God has created me to be?
That's a good cross point between the week and the day, is the overcoming limitations with the weak meanings of splendor, glory, surrender, and humility.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good.
And just the endurance to continue to do that. Like, it's easy, not easy, but it's easier to do it once, but then to continue to do that and to surrender yourself to whatever God is calling you. Mm. It's exhausting.
And I think of the ambition in that.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, guys. My throat is doing some weird things. But I always think, like, as a, well, church planter and a starter of new things, the surrender that it takes to have ambition to continue on, when you try a bunch of things, some things work, some things don't. And then also, like, the service and ambition, too. Because I feel like ambition can get, especially as a strong personality as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And as an Enneagram 8, I get accused of being ambitious a lot. And because I don't give up.
Mm-hmm.
I just, let's figure out a new way. Or a new way forward. Or this didn't work, let's try something else. Or let's keep going. Or, you know, I don't, like, I get accused of that a lot. But it's always, like, it always feels like in a negative connotation.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this is bringing out, like, ambition isn't necessarily negative.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you have to surrender in your, what are you surrendering to achieve, or what is in that ambition? And what is the service in it? Like, why are you? There's a reason why people are ambitious. There's a reason why I try things or do things, or I'm committed to things. And holding the humility and ambition, I like that.
Yeah.
Too. And, like, I would say the humility and endurance, too.
Oh, absolutely. And I like, for your ambition, I like the effectiveness with it. Of, like, you are ambition is to find the most effective way, whether it's communication or on how to do something or how to communicate how to do something. Like, your goal is to constantly find the most effective way for what that person needs and for what you need. So your ambition is coming out of, like, effectiveness.
Oh, That can be really annoying for some people.
Absolutely.
Like, why are you always looking for the effective way?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
And I'm always like, everything's broke.
Absolutely.
A little bit. Right?
Nothing's perfect.
Right. So I'm always like, what is there to learn? What is there to, like, expand upon? And so, like, some people are just like, oh. And I'm like, I don't know. I just, that's just how I look at things. Like, there's always something to learn and improve on. And there's always something, even in myself.
And how many victories would we not have if it wasn't for the ambitious people? How much would we be missing out on?
That's true. I just feel like as a female, it's always like, you need a quiet strength. Mm-hmm. And I've actually been told I need to be more nurturing.
Wasn't Miriam pretty nurturing?
Yes. But I just feel like there's just some weird
gender roles, which, again, maybe that's why it's light pink, is to associate that femininity can be ambitious.
Oh, now we're taking those gender roles that we have and turn them on its head.
Mm-hmm.
So, eternity. Like, I feel like that's a heavy, like...
That's a lot of weight.
That's a lot of weight for, like, victory and eternity, effectiveness, working toward it. Like, that's a lot of weight. And, like, humility and eternity. Like, humility when approaching eternity. Or how we approach eternity. What mm-hmm. is eternity? And I think of it this way, because, like, I feel like Christians... A lot of times, and growing up in the church, I always heard Christians talk about, oh, well, we're eternity, our eternal life, life after death, that this isn't our home, and we'll wait till heaven, and, you know, there's all this emphasis on eternity. And as I get further into Judaism, there's this beautiful understanding of, like, the eternal starts now. Mm-hmm. Now in this world, like this, the kingdom is here and coming, like Jesus would say.
Yep.
There's like this, eternity is now into eternity. That Absolutely. We have a responsibility now for the kingdom of God, to see the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That statement in the Bible, I feel like I understand that in the vein of Judaism more, because there's not this waiting for this afterlife, this eternity, for things to be right, that we have a more of an overwhelming call, invitation to the restorative work God is doing right now into eternity, that right now is linked to eternity, and that
mm-hmm.
what do we miss by waiting?
And that's both exciting and terrifying, because it's like it's exciting to be a part of the eternity in the present, but it's terrifying to know that what you're doing in the present and in the present affects the eternity.
Absolutely. I just feel like there's, like, not that it doesn't matter in, like, Christianity, mm-hmm. like the eternal thing. It just feels like it always felt like to me, this is my own experience, I can't speak for anybody else, but that it was, like, in the future. Like, oh, it was over mm-hmm. there, and it was further away. And with, like, this responsibility of what is eternity
now.
Now, what are we responsible for now? The kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven. What is our responsibility? And what are the victories we could see now?
Mm-hmm.
And how would that impact eternity?
But what is the humility we need to have now to enter eternity? That it's not our eternity, it's God's eternity.
Oh, that is so good. I like that.
I'm really sitting in the people. Like, we have Aaron as a part of the Hod week, and then we have Moses and Miriam a part of the Netzach day, and it's like, that's a whole story, those three right there.
Yeah, those three in the same mm-hmm. story.
Yep. Same story that we're really sitting in that whole story then today of Moses's life, essentially, and the three of them wandering in the wilderness, and there was a lot of ambition and limitations, but it also was setting the trajectory for an eternity. That's where we got the Omer from.
Right.
Is their story.
And Moses,
mm-hmm.
his name means to draw out, and the fact that him in doing his name and doing what God asked him to do, to draw out the people from Mitzrayim or Egypt, the narrow place, out of slavery, into the wilderness where provision is provided by God. That is a, like, eternity and victory is, like, associated with that, because it sets an eternal trajectory for the people of God and what provision of God is in the story. And that's something that that story of living in the story of the journey of the people is very much for today.
Oh, absolutely. The amount of endurance it took, the service, the surrender to God's asking, the empathy for each other. Like, you're wandering around out there with nobody but each other.
Yeah. And at the mercy of the elements of nature. Like, you don't get to control that.
You're really pushing your limitations. Like,
yeah. And there's limitations. Like, you're living at the will of the wilderness. You're surviving out. You live in tents. Like, flash floods in the desert, in the wilderness of Israel, are, like, people die.
Yeah.
That's how bad they are. Like, and they can come like that. And so there's just some, like, you're living at the, like, the mercy of the world around you.
And the splendor and glory and the victory, like, that's all on the, what side you're on. Like, we're seeing this from Moses' side. So there's glory in the victory of leading the people out of Egypt. But, like, for the Egyptians, they don't see the victory. So it's your perception on how you're entering into the space as well, I think.
Oh, absolutely. I just think there's so many things to Midrash in the story and the people associated with the with each theme of each week. There's so much, like, with the colors, and there's so much with the words playing into each other. And then the personal, like, we were talking about ambition before, and the personal kind of connotations this has for us too. So there's just so much here in the Omer, and what's so cool is that if we are, if we have eyes to see, ears to hear, and open hearts enough to hold it all, like, how cool is it that each year that you grow in counting the Omer, you might find yourself with a bigger cup?
Yeah. And I think the hold, when I look at, like, splendor, glory, empathy, humility, service, surrender, it's really how you contribute to, like, the community by, like, doing these things is helping you be a part of the community. But then when I look at Netzach, I'm thinking, like, my effectiveness, my endurance, my ambitions, my limitations, like, it's kind of internally, I have to look at internally in order to be a part of the larger community.
I like that. I like that. And I like the internally, like, I'm thinking overcoming limitations. Like, internally, we put a lot of limitations on ourselves, limitations that I don't believe that God actually puts on us.
Often, like, other people don't even.
Right. And we put them on ourselves. So, like, internally, what do I need to deal with and overcome? What limitations are in place that I need to overcome, or that God, well, rightfully stated, God needs to help me overcome, because I cannot do it on my own, in order to experience splendor and glory.
And that's something that I'm personally not very good at, of, like, being kind to myself. Like, I put a lot of limitations, and then if I don't meet, like, my expectation, I get mad. And so, like, something that I feel like God has taught me how to do, and that I've really had to sit in, of, like, when I'm in those spaces of asking myself, like, is this something I would say to someone else? And if the voice that I'm saying to myself isn't what I would say to someone else, then I need to surrender that and have empathy for myself.
That's so good, because I tell, you know, because I'm a huge supporter of therapy. I tell my therapist all the time, or my therapist asks me all the time, Trin, would you say the words that you're saying to yourself to somebody that you're counseling? And I say, absolutely not. I would say that there's more understanding here and there's more space. And she goes, why can't you say that to yourself? And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm holding myself to a double standard. Like, I would never, like, in my mind, like, what I'm thinking, if somebody else was in a situation similar to whatever I'm talking about or whatever I'm wrestling with, mm-hmm. I have, like, automatically just more compassion, grace, like, and I actually do have it
yep.
for another person. And when it comes to myself, that I don't have the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so coming out of yesterday's of proportion and balance, like, mm-hmm. I should be able to offer that to myself, too.
Absolutely. And surrender the unrealistic, like, expectations you have on yourself to get to those limitations.
And, God, what are my limitations that I'm setting?
Mm-hmm.
And how do I actually overcome those? Because sometimes it's not as easy as, like, I'm just not going to do it anymore. I'm going to pray it out. Or, like, it can be different, like, what overcoming limitations are, or, like, catching yourself when you're setting them, or asking yourself those questions when you're in it and you're, like, you catch yourself in harsh internal stuff that you're telling yourself.
Absolutely. And I'm even thinking back to some of our other day themes earlier on in this week, and it's like I'm thinking of how amazing is it that overcoming limitations comes after setting boundaries?
Oh, that is so good.
Like, that you need to set the boundaries first and then sit in just the beauty of it to overcome the limitations.
See, now we're stretching together and connecting the days, which I think is super beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, seeing how each day is having an impression on the next. And how you're able to then journey from one day to the next and how they're carrying over.
Yeah. The amount of just almost like harmony that each piece has as it plays together. God is good.
God is very good. So we hope you enjoyed today. And we just hope that you have blessings on your day. I hope today's conversation has been deep and transformative. Please consider becoming a Patreon supporter to help us continue and expand the Honesty Talks podcast. When you are a Patreon supporter, you will get to be a part of our online community. You can also get other great things like early access to episodes, participating in polls, and making suggestions on future podcast topics, and so much more. For more information and to donate, go to patreon.com/honesty_talks. Thank you for listening, and join us next time.